Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and want to be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message about laying foundations. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 27. I'm reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 21. "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven." Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." Verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Verse 25, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Verse 26, "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Verse 27. "And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." For more information on laying a proper foundation with Jesus as functional Lord, please read chapter 3 on laying foundations in the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity. Jesus described two foundations caught in the storms of life. Both foundations included hearing his voice, but the one that survived was consistently following the teachings of Jesus. Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders in his time. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 42 to 47, this is in John's Gospel, chapter 8, I'm reading verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Verse 43. "Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word?" Verse 44. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." Verse 45. "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." Verse 46. "Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Verse 47. "He that is of God hears God's word, and ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." Do not rely on doing ministry works. Those building their own ministry in Jesus' name will be exposed. The Jews could hear Jesus speaking, but could not understand because they were serving the devil through the lust of their own flesh. Those who do not enter the kingdom of heaven are serving the devil unawares. The term the kingdom of heaven includes any person or angels faithfully representing the Father in heaven by doing the perfect will on earth in thought, purpose, and action. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 7. And as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Epaphras was a faithful minister who had learned to hear and obey God, and enter the kingdom of God himself. His report caused Paul to pray for the church to, one, be filled with the intimate knowledge of his will for their lives. Two, get godly wisdom by making no excuses for keeping his commands. Number three, get an understanding by making no room for any personal needs. Number four, live lives worthy of the Lord by obeying the Spirit consistently. Number five, please God through the purifying of their faith. Number six, be fruitful in everything that they put their hand to. Number seven, increase with knowledge without getting puffed up. You do not need to prepare for the last days by stockpiling food and provisions. Jesus said to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. I'm reading the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that they mayest see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and be zealous therefore, and repent. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and sat down with the Father in his throne. Verse 22. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. There is no better time to open the door of your heart to Jesus and learn obedience by trusting God with all your heart in situations shaking the earth right now. You will get grace and experience a level of intimacy with Jesus, providing all your needs in the storm. Jesus also said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Those who have been changed following Jesus know the root of sin is a love for the flesh more than a love for God. In the last days, everyone can experience more of God's grace and mercy to change and seek God's perfect will. Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, This is Colossians chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Verse 13. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. Epaphras wanted the church to be perfect and complete through repentance. Some believe that the message to the Laodiceans applies to the church in the period just before the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to verse 17. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. That thou would be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because thou says, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, revised edition, in chapter 5, on practical steps to fellowship with God, on pages 65 and 66, Joseph Hedgecott writes, many believers don't really know what they do to get in the Spirit when they find themselves there. They go to church and praise the Lord, and they forget about everything else in their lives for a few moments. It would be easy to assume that praising God moves them into the Spirit, but it's actually because they are confessing Jesus as their Lord and bowing before him. For that moment, they stop being Lord of their lives and submit everything to Jesus as their Lord. Then, as soon as the service is over, they take over the Lordship again and lose the peace of God that is resident when Jesus is Lord. They are moved into the Spirit by what I call divine herding. They get in the right atmosphere, and they are herded into the Spirit without any real understanding of how they got there. Unfortunately, they get herded back out of the Spirit just as easily. It seems they end up on a cattle drive, spending all their time running up and down the trail between the two natures. In fact, some of you have trail ruts 4 feet deep between the two natures because you keep running back and forth between them. Those seeking God's help when they're in trouble or humbling themselves for the sake of ministry and then going back to the flesh afterwards are lukewarm. Your flesh should feel uncomfortable attending the Church of Jesus Christ. The devil will help you develop bad habits and use them to keep you in the flesh. In the Spirit, you will develop good habits. The flesh and the Spirit are like two operating systems. If you're walking in the flesh, you are cold. If you're walking in the Spirit, you are hot. By walking in the Spirit, you are also consistently following the teachings of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the one who knows what you need to do now, bringing thoughts to your mind to obey. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Noah Webster in 1828 defined godliness as 1. A religious life, a careful observance of the laws of God and performance of religious duties, proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands, Christian obedience. 2. Revelation, the system of Christianity. The mystery of godliness is not a mystery to those following Christ. You might ask, how did Christ do all that he did without ever making a mistake? Jesus perfectly represented God and his word by emptying himself and not doing his own will. Jesus wrote the plan because he is the word. Then Jesus gave his approved plan of salvation to the Father to direct and fulfill through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Son of Man, then simply obeyed the Holy Spirit without any fear, step by step. We read in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, and I'm starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Jesus is the Word manifested in the flesh. He is still the Word manifested in the flesh today. But by becoming human, he did not have to change anything to be the Word manifested in the flesh, being led by the Spirit. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. This is in the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Jesus came in the flesh and relied on the Holy Spirit every moment to direct him as the word of life. You should have confessed your sin and repented of dead works. Jesus gave you the Holy Spirit to follow Christ, holding forth the word of life and bringing light to others. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Only those trying to serve two masters find it hard to understand the things of God. They hear, but they do not understand because they are not spiritual. Jesus said in Luke 21, verses 26 to 28. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. I'm starting in verse 26. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. Church activities were stopped during the pandemic. Most countries experienced a lockdown, giving everyone a chance in this world to get ready for his appearing, examine themselves, and concentrate on their personal relationship with God. I suspect many did not use the lockdown wisely. If you did not use this time wisely, ask the Lord why not. Fear has been increasing. The current issues are not just affecting one area. The worldwide challenges are signs that Jesus is coming. And now there are food shortages and price increases too. We read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. This is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 14. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15. And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus immediately began preaching the kingdom of God is at hand after John the Baptist was put in prison. John did his job preparing the way for Christ, and it was important that he did not love his own life at all. The kingdom of God came on this earth nearly 2,000 years ago by the Spirit on the day of Pentecost after Jesus died on the cross. Paul said in Romans 14 and verse 17, this is in the book of Romans, chapter 14. I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Peace and joy are available in the kingdom so that everyone can hear God's voice clearly and stay in right standing with Him, doing the will of God. Jesus did not need to remove the devil or kick out the Romans to establish the kingdom of God when he came the first time. Carnal Christians want peace and joy without being led by the Spirit. Jesus was speaking in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and reading verses 26 to 28. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, starting in verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. Verse 28, for the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Those in the kingdom of God live by doing his perfect will. His disciples get the resources they need to live and produce the right fruit and change following Jesus' example. Paul was teaching in Acts chapter 14, verses 21 to 23. I'm reading the book of Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. You should expect tribulation entering the kingdom of God, because the devil is the god of this world. Paul appointed elders and allowed those to teach who had already overcome their flesh and entered the kingdom of God. Those with just a natural education cannot teach the truth. Every generation since Christ came has had access to the kingdom of God to do the will of God. You cannot abide in the kingdom of God by saying the sinner's prayer. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The kingdom of God provides resources for all those with the right priorities. Sin separates you from the kingdom of God. Here is a modern version of Matthew 6, 9-13 I can recommend. Use anything and anyone to help me change rather than your name be dishonored by the way I live. If I'm listening to my own desires, use the Bible, circumstances, or anything to wake me up spiritually so I can see my sin and repent. Everything belongs to you, and you alone are able to provide for me through others if necessary. Forgive me as I forgive those who made promises they could not keep. Do not open any opportunities in this world for me in this life if I'm not ready for them. The purification of my faith is the priority, as you have all authority to open doors at any time that no one can close. Jesus trained the apostles that God used in the first generation. They were sent out several times and had to trust God to meet their personal needs. They had to pray. Jesus had nowhere to lay his head or a large ministry base to feed the disciples between mission trips. Do not hold on to anything in this world or have expectations in others, and enter the kingdom of God by faith. You should be suspicious of ministry funds being used for disciples to remain comfortable in these last days. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8-17. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 8. Now you are full, now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Verse 9. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. In labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Verse 13. Being defamed, we entreat. We're made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul's teaching was how to abide in Christ in every church through trials and difficulties, by asking God directly. Paul was prepared to work hard with his own hands and earn some money rather than get support from the rich Corinthians, using ministry funds to live like kings, running classrooms for babies, focusing on the gifts of the Spirit. Choose wisely, as time is running out, if you want a deep foundation. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 to 29. I'm reading the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, starting in verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Verse 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Through the pandemic, the church woke up briefly to the fact that Jesus is coming, but went back to their old ways of just calling him Lord. The tribulation is coming for those being drawn back into the world again, making decisions based on worldly wisdom. Those who have not established a good foundation with Jesus as Lord will be left behind. Anything built on the devil's kingdom will be exposed for what it is and eventually destroyed. We say in the ministry, good is the enemy of best. The best foundation is to ask God what he wants through the gift of eternal life and obey. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 25 to 29. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29. And if you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. The word anointing in Strong's is number 5545. It comes from another word which basically means smearing, that is figuratively the special endowment or charisma of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. Do not let anyone seduce you away from a simple relationship with God by faith, using the gift of eternal life to hear his voice and please him. Those who see Christianity as just another religion have been seduced. You were supposed to be born of God, not just be born again. Being born again is the Spirit coming in you. Through the gift of eternal life, you can now communicate with God, get to know him, and do the perfect will of God all the time with God's anointing, and be born of God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, starting verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Verse 19. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 6, Joseph Edgecott writes, I asked my Heavenly Father to show me how I could have his anointing in my life. He said, if you trust me and acknowledge me in all your ways, then I will direct your steps. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Once I have given you an instruction, I have authorized the grace, strength and abilities to obey. My anointing means I set you aside and authorize you to do this work. You should expect the Holy Spirit to be on you, enabling you to complete your assignment regardless of how small it is in the eyes of man. It's not small in my eyes because This is the way I qualify you for greater things. From that day on, I sought God for directions in all areas of my life, large and small. My number one motive was to express my love to God through my obedience. If you are in the Spirit, let Him direct the work. You have the potential to be anointed like Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord comes in you and will also come upon you to do His perfect will. What God anoints is acceptable to Him, even if it seems strange. He decides everything in heaven because He has the plan. You just need to obey by faith. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 2 to 4. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm starting in verse 2. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Verse 4. I have glorified Thee on the earth, and I have finished the work which Thou hast given Me to do. I have traveled to many parts of the world and asked people to write down on a piece of paper what they think eternal life is before speaking. When I have done this, more than 80% put down the wrong answer. When I read out loud the scripture you just heard, many would say, I know that. However, by writing on a piece of paper that eternal life is living forever is a sign that many have been seduced. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. This is Hebrews chapter 4, I'm reading verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 2, on the joy of my salvation, on pages 115 to 116, Joseph Hedgecock says, you have heard this before, but I will repeat it. What you believe in your heart is what you do. Most Christians believe in their minds, but not in their hearts. Sadly, some people do not actually get saved because they believe in Jesus from their minds instead of their hearts. A minister once told me that when I heard truth and the Spirit bore witness to it, I should say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I did that, and it worked. At the time, I did not know the scripture that says, knowledge puffs up. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. But wisdom comes by obedience to bring balance. Years later, I pastored a church in Tennessee and I received a lot of revelation, but I was not diligent in obeying it. I did not realize that my knowledge had surpassed my wisdom. I became somewhat lifted up. One Sunday, I was ministering in our church. I had a big pulpit and a big Bible. I was preaching a message and was really excited. When I quoted a specific scripture, I knew everyone in the congregation would be convicted. When I quoted it, I slammed my Bible down on the pulpit and slapped it 3 times. I said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I paused so it could have an effect on the congregation. As I was pausing, the Father had something to say to me. He said, Son, I said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. My word does not need your belief to settle it. It is forever settled in the heavens. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word, not one punctuation mark will pass away until it's all fulfilled. Matthew 5 and verse 18. I said it, and that settles it. If you can believe it, you can receive it. If you cannot believe it, you will not receive it. Either way, I said it, and that settles it. I said, yes, Lord, and repented of being so arrogant. Then I explained to the congregation why I stood there looking foolish for such a long time. I changed my formula that day. Now when the Holy Spirit reveals truth to me, I say, God, you said it, and that settles it. I think I'll just be smart and believe it. If I can believe it, I can receive it. If I cannot believe it, I will not receive it. He said it, and that settles it. The good news is that He is willing to make all the right decisions for your life from now on. You can cease from your own works and do His instead. This is with the promise of eternal glory for all those who hear and obey His voice. The children of Israel went into the wilderness for them to get to know, hear, and accept Him as Lord. James said in James chapter 1, verse 21. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm just reading verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. If you want to benefit from the living word and believe it with all your heart and not your mind, then remove carefully what else is filling your heart first. Meditate and let the truth expose what you already believe. Reject the lie and receive the truth. Medically, the difference between the head and the heart is about 18 inches, but it is a billion miles in the spiritual realm. In the Amplified Bible, John 17:3 says, and this is eternal life. It means to know, to perceive, to recognize, become acquainted with, and to understand you, the only true and real God, and likewise to know Him, Jesus, as the Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, whom you have sent. Man's needs in the kingdom of God are met through God's communication system. Eternal life is a free gift for His people to get to know Him personally and ask Him questions as necessary. Eternal life works by grace through faith because it came in the package of salvation. You need one, grace, which is given to those who are humble, and two, faith in God to believe that you can get to know God now. You already have an eternal spirit that came from God when He sent you here by grace. You would not be here today if it were not for God and His word. Through the gift of eternal life, you can get to know God now and obey Him perfectly. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is 1 John chapter 4. I'm starting in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Christian organizations often believe that Jesus had authority in Himself to do what He wanted, and that He consulted His own will. By believing this, they do not believe that Christ came in the flesh. They believe lies because they want to justify consulting their own will. This belief is a false Antichrist spirit in churches everywhere. Many believe they will live forever by repeating a prayer at salvation and will not die. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. The devil had a purpose in the kingdom of heaven too. But because of pride in his heart, he will spend eternity in the lake of fire with all those who follow his example. Jesus can be trusted. With Jesus as the functional Lord of your life, you can remain humble and trust God that he will not let you perish. There's no third option. We read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 40 and 41. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, starting in verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples, and finding them asleep, and said unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh always makes the wrong choices. Only those led and controlled by the Spirit will be ready for his appearing. Nothing good lives in you, but by hearing and keeping Jesus' commands, you get an option to do something pure by faith that came from God. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. This is 1 John chapter 5, I'm reading verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commands, and his commands are not grievous. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. By submitting to Christ, he gives you the power of the Holy Spirit, grace and strength to obey his commands. You just need to follow his instructions, believe and not doubt. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. This is 1 John chapter 3, I'm reading verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. If you sin, this is evidence you listen to your flesh more than God. The devil cannot make you sin. God always makes a way where there seems to be no way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, on spiritual maturity, in Chapter 4, On a More Excellent Way, on page 46, Joseph Hedgecott writes, In these last days, God is focusing on going back to the root of why his people are missing what he has for them. If you mature spiritually to a certain point but cannot go further, you are either ignorant of what comes next, or you do not have the foundation you need to do what comes next. Most believers are ignorant of the requirements to become spiritual. They do not know what is available in the spiritual realm. Even if they are exposed to the truth, they do not have the right foundation to receive and walk in it. They continuously fail because they try to build a spiritual building on a natural foundation. In a secular job or in an education, those who trained you require you to come to work or class every day. Their job was to prepare you for the future. I'm sure they did not ask your opinion about what you needed to learn. It should have been explained to you that Christ came in the flesh at salvation. He can make a way of escape, as God did for his Son, but you need to be still and listen. Every temptation you face, Jesus also faced, and is common to man. You are born to do the will of God, led by the Spirit, and overcome. The Holy Spirit is the helper, as he knows the mind and heart of God. Jesus listened and relied on the Holy Spirit too. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 12, I'm reading. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You do not have to fight the devil if you kill your flesh. Those on the narrow way, when they see what God provides, give thanks to him. Keep well away from the broad way, and ask God more questions using the gift of eternal life. Do not rely on earthly wisdom or riches. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 2 to 14. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savour. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Verse 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Do God's perfect will daily like Christ, and your new lifestyle will wake up others around you in the body of Christ. Jesting and foolish talking is bad fruit in your life that the world has crept back in through a knowledge of rights and wrongs based on worldly wisdom. We read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. For more information on ways that seem right, please refer to the book The Gilded Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. The devil uses ways that seem right against those who have not laid a solid foundation of repentance and deceive themselves that they can still please God with dead works. The devil only gets access through the carnal nature. sin and the devil are invited through the lust of the flesh. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. When the programs of the devil in your heart and mind have been replaced with God's laws, he will remember your sins and iniquities no more. Until then, you will experience more conviction and correction until you get to the root of your sin and repent with the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verses 26 to 30. This is in the Gospel of John chapter 5. I'm reading verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27, and have given him authority to execute judgment also because he's the Son of Man. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Verse 30, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Not even Christ consulted his own will or did any works of his own. Jesus had life in himself because he was the image of the Father. You can also have life yourself in all areas where you are an image of Christ. Your foundation is only as strong as your ability to hear and obey God's perfect will. Paul said in Romans 13, verses 11 to 14. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 13, and verse 11. And that knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let's put on the armor of light. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The church at the center of the Roman Empire had not put on Christ and had to wake up. A weak foundation cannot handle temptation and will compromise. When you put on Christ, you should have used your faith to put on the mind of Christ too. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that you may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Even in very difficult circumstances, Paul did not give God instructions. If you're still giving God instructions, then you do not have the mind of Christ. God put everything that Paul needed in his mind by grace. Paul was a qualified master builder because he had the right fruit, serving God in trials, speaking the truth in love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The word foundation in Strong's is number 2310, from another word meaning something put down, that is, a substruction of a building, etc. Literally or figuratively, a foundation. We were his enemies, building with natural wisdom to make our flesh more comfortable in this world. God can use you too as a master builder if you have no opinions. Everything in your foundation is something you accept first, use, and ultimately pass on. Untested ideas of your own are like cheap materials based on worldly wisdom that you pass on to the next generation. If you compromise on truth, you will suffer loss and deceive others. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 13. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. I'm starting in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it. Verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Verse 13, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The prophet was describing how in the kingdom of God his word from heaven provides answers on how to live in a dark world and bring life. Everything you listen to in this world has been corrupted by the devil. You might hear something that sounds good, but if the spirit does not bear witness, it's not the truth. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 should have changed you. When I first shared this with a church pastor in the UK where I was attending, he did not agree that it was necessary to ask God everything because he had been seduced. In Rwanda, I did several meetings over several years. At each visit, I would speak for a week at a time, with about 500 people attending every day in the center of Kigali. Many Christians in the city called me the Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 man. They heard what I said, but did not become doers because they were seduced by other teachings that promised earthly blessings without making Jesus Lord. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto you were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Verse 4, for while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Verse 5, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Verse 7, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. The word laborers in Strong's is number 4904, from a presumed compound of two other words meaning a co-laborer, that is, a companion in labor, a fellow helper, a laborer, a worker, a laborer together with, or a work fellow. There are many job opportunities in the kingdom of God, but for architects or master builders, the foundation has to be laid properly. The prophets and apostles were not kingdom builders, but laborers. The gospel writers recorded everything in great detail, even their mistakes, backsliding, and unnecessary suffering. You should learn from their mistakes, build carefully, and not without sharing the lessons you learned the hard way through conviction, and be faithful to the truth. You might not suffer for establishing a truth, but you will have to suffer for not watering it down. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26, this is in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, I'm reading verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? Verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. The word save in Strong's is number 4982. It's a primary word, comes from a obsolete word making means to make safe. To save, that is to deliver or protect, literally or figuratively. It also means to heal or preserve, save, or do well or make whole. The word lose in Strong's is number 622. It comes from some other words which means to destroy fully. So by implication, it means to perish or lose, literally or figuratively, to destroy, die, lose, mar, or perish. The Christian writer C.S. Lewis wrote, until you've given up yourself to him, you will not have a real self. Many churches are preoccupied with different ministries and outward appearances that do not focus on the functional lordship of Jesus Christ. Those who promote blessings and promises without the conditions are seeking vain glory. The gifts are not the sign of maturity, but the fruit of the Spirit is. You should have made some significant changes in your life since salvation. You were willing to suffer for career, pursuing worldly interests, but now you should be willing to suffer to do His perfect will. Some suffering may be involved, especially if you're running out of time. Jesus said in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18, This is in the book of James, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 13. Who is the wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Verse 14. If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom that descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Those with the right foundation have the peace of God in the midst of any situation. Do you have the peace that passes all understanding in these last days, or just the peace of the world? Many have a peace that does not include Jesus Christ as their functional Lord. Paul warned Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is in the book of Titus chapter 2. I'm reading verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. In the Living Bible, Titus 2, 11 to 15 says, For the free gift of eternal salvation is now being offered to everyone, and along with this gift comes the realization that God wants us to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures and to live good, God-fearing lives day after day, looking forward to that wonderful time we've been expecting when His glory shall be seen, the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He died under God's judgment against our sins so that He could rescue us from constant falling into sin and make us His very own people with cleansed hearts and real enthusiasm for doing kind things for others. You must teach these things and encourage your people to do them, correcting them when necessary, as one who has every right to do so. Don't let anyone think that what you say is not important. If you are not changing, then I suggest that you are not asking God enough questions. With the gift of eternal life, you can live on the narrow way and be totally satisfied. However, many have believed lies instead. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, this is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Those who please God are doing works of faith based on precious promises directed by the Spirit. What takes time is the purification of your faith through trials for you to do the works that God planned. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 8 and 9. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Those that have received the Holy Spirit at new birth can be in the flesh or in the Spirit. Those that let the Holy Spirit indwell them are not in the flesh. Before the cross, Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, verses 16 and 17. I'm reading John 14 and verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But ye know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. The disciples in the upper room following Jesus had the Spirit dwelling on them and could recognize the Spirit. There is no excuse for doing a dead work now that we have the Holy Spirit and the gift of eternal life. Dead works do not require faith or being led by the Spirit. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. In the book The Gilded Prison, Revised Edition, in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Hitchcock writes, the root of all sin is your lordship, along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh, or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. Those who've repented of dead works out of necessity have to become spiritual, with faith in God to direct them, since they cannot do anything out of the carnal nature. A dead work is any work that you did out of your reasoning, good or bad. In my training, whenever I missed the Lord, I would hear, it doesn't take you long to know you missed it. This was a great help when I was starting to know that I got in the flesh over small issues. I endured the correction and through repentance learned an eternal lesson by getting to the root issue each time. Those following Christ do not justify getting in the flesh to meet their own physical or emotional needs. The flesh is still in the foundation of every carnal Christian. They believe that God helps those who help themselves. They consult their own will, make decisions quickly to save themselves from harm, and keep their own interests alive. If you serve others out of love, you will quickly learn what you need to learn. God also decides who your neighbor is. Many are unwilling to learn how to do everything in the Spirit by submitting to God and His Word. Those who see Christianity as just another religion, where you can still be Lord of your own life, have been seduced. The foundation Jesus laid, including giving up His life just to do the will of the Father. Jesus never sinned by trusting the Father. He is the standard for all those who believe and trust in Him. John said in 1 John 3, verses 5 to 8, I'm reading 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sins not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In the Message Bible, 1 John 3, verses 5 and 8 says this, surely you know that Christ showed up in order to get rid of sin. There is no sin in him, and sin is not a part of his program. No one who lives deeply in Christ makes a practice of sin. None of those who do practice sin have taken a good look at Christ. They've got him all backward. So, my dear children, don't let anyone divert you from the truth. It's the person who acts right who is right, just as we see it lived out in our righteous Messiah. Those who make a practice of sin are straight from the devil, the pioneer in the practice of sin. The Son of God entered the scene to abolish the devil's ways. By trusting God with all your heart, it's impossible to sin. You first have to get in the flesh to sin. Sin proves that you're deceiving yourself and still have a confidence in the flesh. The purpose of Christ's coming was to destroy the works of the devil in you first and enable you to do the works God ordained for your life as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You were put in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above the devil, so there's no excuse. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 19. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In the Amplified Bible, James 1:18 says, And it was of his own free will that he gave us birth as sons by his word of truth, so that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures, a sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. After repentance from all dead works, how will you be consecrated if you now again do any works of your own? Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. This is 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Christian ministries that mock the idea of asking God everything are serving the devil. They prevent others from entering the kingdom of heaven. They have not made Jesus Lord themselves. It's through consistently asking God the small things that you can establish Jesus as functional Lord of your own life. We read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 9, Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Some Christians' leaders say God has given you a brain, he expects you to use it. God is supposed to use your mind instead and put things there for you to obey and meditate upon. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 30 to 32. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in Chapter 3 on Laying Foundations, on page 48, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "I can teach you how to have ears to hear what God says to you. I can encourage you to develop a relationship with your Father and communicate with Him consistently so He can bring you to maturity. But the process that puts this in place is between you and God by the Holy Spirit. The work of actually placing foundational truths into your spirit has nothing to do with me, but it's between you and God. You can rely on the Holy Spirit to get you ready for His appearing. If someone lets you down, then remember God knew this was going to happen. He is in control. He will make a way for you. If you do not forgive them, then you are not representing the kingdom of heaven. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way, the broad way that leads to destruction and looks good. It signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broad way. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition, by Joseph Hitchcock. Today I've shared a message with you about spiritual foundations. Many didn't start right. They were never told that Jesus came in the flesh. They were never told to deny themselves completely and take up their cross. But today you are hearing that, and I want you to go back to your first works if necessary and lay those foundations again. But you must do that with the Lord. You must do that personally yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to put each one of those truths in your heart and receive it by faith. Remember that God is speaking all the time, and He is going to show you what that means. And you have to let go of things that you've been holding on to and make room for the truths that He's going to give you. You have to be meek and receive the word with meekness. I want to pray with you right now. If you have received this message and you know God has spoken to you about areas where you lack meekness and you know you've never really made Jesus Lord, let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I know there's ones listening to this message right now that you are trying to build a solid, solid foundation that's going to last for eternity and take them right through into that glorious appearing, and they'll be ready for your kingdom. They will function without using their natural mind. And Father, you have planned for them to be part of your kingdom and to be led by your Spirit. Father, I pray they open their hearts right now and just believe that everything they need comes through the Holy Spirit, and you can direct them faithfully now because eternal life is here now. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for listening. It's always a blessing to share these messages with you. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message. It will be below the video, either written out or on a link to a website. Our contact details will follow. And if at all you want to get in touch with us and live this kind of life of complete trust in the Holy Spirit and what He's directing, please get in touch with us. I think we can help you. We have many materials. It's a new way of living. So please get in touch with us. God bless you, and thank you for listening.